Welcome to Booktopia On, and this week we're talking about what makes the perfect beach read. I'm Bronwyn, and I'm here with Ben, John, and Sarah.
Hi, Bronwyn.
Hi. Well, hello, Sarah. I've just spent the last few hours with you. Hello again. So,
I don't know, look, whether I'm on the beach or in my bedroom or in the kitchen sink or in the car waiting for the lights to change, I just read what I want to read, right? So I don't know what beach read means. How are we classifying beach read?
So you might be one of those eclectic people who, you know, you read anything. Anywhere,
while I do anytime. Like eclectic as a descriptor.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really read different. I read what I feel like reading at the time, regardless of where I am.
I suppose a beach read comes down to, there's lots of people out there who don't get time to read during their normal lives, and their holidays are their big peak reading periods.
The one time they really
and they just gorge themselves over like a 3 week period or a 2 week period.
So if we're saying if you are only reading one book a year, this is the book you should read, is that?
Well, that's one way
of looking at it. Or the type of book you should read.
But there are different, I remember being in the water, looking back on the beach and seeing, you know, a sea of Belinda Alexander 1 year. Right. So, well, that seems rather popular. Seems to be all the same book. And there were times when E.L. James was the book on the beach. Everyone seemed to be reading the one thing. So you get these sort of movements in time. And when the Stieg Larsson books were out, everywhere you went, you saw them. They were everywhere. And that seemed to be that year was the choice on the beach, was Stieg Larsson. So there are people who really dig the book that everyone's reading, and they haven't had a chance to read it yet. And so on the holiday, they grab that one and take it with them.
I think the question is, have you ever gone on a beach and seen anyone reading a non-fiction, like a serious non-fiction book?
Yes.
Like an autobiography. Are they beach reads, like for some people?
For that person?
Yeah.
If they're reading it on a beach.
I wouldn't read
by definition.
A non-fiction. Yes, thank you, Sarah.
But you're I wouldn't sticking, read.
I'm just literal about
you're
the beach.
You're very, like, black and white. But personally, I don't think a non-fiction book would be the right vibe for me on the beach. Like, I'd rather read that at home on the couch on the weekend or something. But if I'm on the beach, I think I want a fiction. I want to escape into a new world while I'm on holidays, whether it be a thriller or
you want to be able to dip in and out of it. So you're people watching, you're in an outdoor experience, which you're meant to kind of be enjoying as well as reading. Mm. So you just want a light fiction to sort of dip in and dip out. I'm completely opposite, though.
So what do you read on the beach, John?
I go to the beach, though. But there's like a good, you know, 2 minutes in the water and then it's to the shade.
Yeah.
And
the others you burn.
It's pretty much it. And,
I remember the last beach holiday I was on and I was reading The Night Circus, and that was perfect for the beach because it was a beautiful story, beautiful writing, and I was in a beautiful place. But then a previous year I was trying to read Frankenstein on the beach, and while it was a great book, it wasn't a beach read. It was getting me really irritated and really
but
worried.
But how much
and
of
so
that
heavy.
Was the beach
and
how much
of
that
book?
Was the mood you happened to be in at the time? Because
true.
One could argue that parts of Dead Body Life and Creates New Life is not that far of a stretch from Magical Circus. Like,
I mean, sure. what
like
version of that circus
like,
were you
in
reading?
In terms of atmosphere and, I don't know, they're both kind of like...
I get what you mean.
One takes more concentration, though.
Frankenstein
requires Frankenstein, more concentration. And if you're on a beach, there's lots of stuff going on.
And a beach is a very calm place, whereas Frankenstein has this wonderful, chaotic drama in reading that book.
I think that's what I was trying to articulate.
But you could be in the mood for it and be on a beach.
Oh, yeah.
It depends on the person.
See, I just reject beach reads as a statement.
Some people can get quite...
Yeah, but you can't reject because it's actually a real thing. People are actually doing this every year.
Okay, I'm going to get in the spirit of it, guys. I'm turning a corner. Beach reads. So something that...
People used to come into my shop years ago and take a pile, and they would take a pile which was crime, romance, big epics, that kind of thing. And off they'd go on their holiday. They'd jump on the plane and go off and
they bring it back 4 weeks later full of sand.
Full of sand and shake it out. Yeah.
See, this is reading on a plane I can visualise.
Yeah, but does reading on a
plane
cause you to read a particular thing?
I would say the only thing that matters to me is the size of the book. If you're going on the plane, I don't want a 600-700 page book in your carry-on.
Technology is amazing in that respect.
Oh, yeah, I took Aaron Dottie Roy on holidays and that was just... It was too difficult.
Well,
it was just enormous.
I took a Diana Gabaldon on my last hiking trip, and was like, last minute, not doing this, left it in the hotel with the rest of our stuff, and ended up getting lost. And I think it was a sign that you don't take big books when you travel personally, I think.
Camping I get, because you can't bring a device with you, but yes, anywhere else where there's electricity.
But a plane, I still would rather have the actual book, because you never know. I'm always so paranoid about electrical devices. On
I'm not a... I'm that's a separate issue. I'm a bad packer, and I don't have room for the amount of books that I want to leave the country
true,
with.
True that.
But, okay, what do I plan to read these holidays?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you?
So well, do you have...
It's really probably something I should have thought of before we sat down to do this podcast.
Well, see, personally...
The TBR is huge.
Yeah, well, it is. And, I mean, the whenever I go on a weekend away, or the holiday I went on a few weeks ago, I actually stand and I look and I say, what would be great for this holiday? And I actually just go off like a vibe.
Because you're a destination holiday kind of person.
Yeah.
Right? You go, it was a very niche spot. You went to
Mongolia.
And
I took Diana Gabaldon. That doesn't really match. But it was going into a different world, I guess. So maybe that's why I was like, so is Outlander.
I mean, I like the idea of themed reading for your holiday. I did once when the first time, like I was once in London and I happened to be, not by design, reading the other Boleyn girl,
okay,
or some Philippa Gregory, I can't remember which one, the day that I went to the Tower of London. And that was really cool because the book was very present in my mind and I was like, and here I am at the place, and I like that, and maybe we should actually do that more often. It's fun.
Well, Planets have that little list in their Lonely Planets where you can, they've got a list
read
of reading
for your
read for your holiday. I love that.
Well, I went to Blackheath a few weeks ago and I purposely can't say that word, chose Persuasion. Because, I don't know, I was like, Countryside, you know, Persuasion.
Oh my God, you've read Persuasion? I haven't spoken to you about it.
No, I didn't read it because I also, because I took options. I also took Lost Boy by Christina Henry.
What are you doing to me?
And that's like, out in the wilderness, and I was going to be in a beautiful place with lots of trees. And so I thought, well, these kind of remind me of where I'm going.
Okay.
And they were, I wouldn't want to have taken something set in the city when I'm trying to escape the city. Do you know what I mean? Like, that was just me.
Maybe
I'm the only person who does this. I don't know.
I do like to read books about people who are on holidays when I'm on holidays.
Yes.
Like, things that I will often... I reread on holidays a lot because sometimes I just like to revisit books that...
I know
John doesn't believe in rereading.
I do believe in rereading.
He rereads.
Well, then what was that smirk all about?
John's a smirker. Photos of John, but he's a smirker.
But I was going to say, a thing that I do like to read on holiday is Mary Stuart books, because they're always about people who travel to other places. But that's another reason why Belinda Alexander is probably so popular, because she writes books that are sort of set in a particular place, that really delve into that place and the flavour of that place, and has someone going there and discovering things. Like, it's a good holiday read, right?
Yeah. Well, holiday reads often are chosen for you because people give you a book Christmas and you go, oh, here we go.
I guess I'm reading this.
I'm reading this now.
Be a child again.
Yeah. So that, I think that's because, we know from our experience here that there are certain books that always sell every Christmas in huge numbers. And so you're going to find those on beaches after Christmas because they've been given as gifts.
Yeah, and there are certain books like Lee Child books that are just so readable that...
They're perfect for the beach.
Yeah, they're absolutely perfect for a holiday as well. They would help you unwind.
Well, guess all the psychotic...
books about crime.
Well, I find books about crime to be really soothing.
Yeah, it is. You just get it all out,
Yeah.
You've been waiting in the queue behind some really annoying family in an airport queue, driving you nuts, or on the plane with someone screaming all the time.
And you can't actually hurt them, so you read about
so you read crime for like a half... So I'm going to vicariously be a murderer to work out frustrations. I read crime to be like... as a kind of guide to not get murdered.
So if I'm ever in a parking garage and this happens, I know to be afraid. This guy's going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear what Ben has to say, because I see Ben with a little pile next to him on a beach towel under very shaded beach towel.
An umbrella.
Sun safety is important.
It is very important.
Especially for
I'm a big fan of the beach. I actually grew up in the Blue Mountains. Blackheath was my first family home.
Oh, beautiful.
And so that's boring.
For you, maybe.
So the beach is awesome. The beach is where you want to go. And I find the beach very therapeutic because there's a lot of oral stuff happening with the water crashing, and you got birds, this big bright vista of there's just nothing, and there's no other people to look at unless you turn around, then there's lots of people. But
depends where you go.
Yeah.
You're painting this vivid picture of the place that's very different to the one we're sitting in right now.
Yes. What I try and read is books that kind of match that therapeutic climate. Books that have rich sentences that I can sort of, you know, you can read a phrase and then it sits with you, and you almost want to, you can almost speak it aloud to yourself because you kind of got some space around you. I read these. Tim Winton's great. I had a really great summer reading Deborah Levy's Hot Milk, which is like a hot climate holiday literary book, and it is just the most fantastic beach read I could ever recommend. There's actually a girl in a swimsuit on the front cover.
Thematically on point.
Yeah, very thematically on point. Hannah Kent.
Kent is good to read anywhere at any time.
Exactly. In the sink.
But
if you haven't read in your kitchen sink, get on it.
The opening of
And it's the best opening line of any book ever.
Smith.
I write this sitting in the kitchen sink. I go to the castle.
Right.
It's a beautiful book. Great to read on holiday.
Oh, no, I got that too. I remember when that, because I listened to an audiobook and I was like, what? Why are you in the kitchen sink? That's right.
Julian Barnes. Anything with these wonderful phrases that you just want to pause on and reflect.
Yeah, because there's that side of things. I was speaking to someone the other day, and they said, you know, you always push, you know, light fiction and crime and romance in the beach read stuff.
And
this is the time we've actually got time off, so we should actually
challenging yourself
and reading something you don't have time. You say you don't have time to read during your normal periods of the year.
Yeah, because you might not read like a heavy literary fiction on like the train when everything's bustling and you've got to get off in three stops.
Yeah, so you sit on a beach, you should have the time.
And you've got the
sort of
time to read whatever you want. I would agree.
Like Persuasion.
Yes.
It's a great time to clear that all of those books that you've owned for a while that you haven't read or that you've always meaned to buy and read and you never got around to it. When you're on holidays, why not do it? As someone who, so we for a book club just read, I finally got around to reading The Essex Serpent.
That would be a perfect
I wanted
beach
to read it for so long and I just never did. And then it was so great to finally read and it was wonderful. That's what you should be reading.
Yeah, I did that one summer. I picked up Rousseau's Confessions because why? It's been on, it was on my shelf for years, absolutely years, and I'd always been told to read this thing, and I just went, it looks fat and boring, I'm not going to read this. And I finally got around to reading it, and I read that in a week at on holidays at the beach, and it looked weird, reading an old beat up penguin, but it was just fantastic, and it's such a light read, he's such a liar, and a cheat, and all these wonderful things, so you just get taken away with this big line of bull, really. Absolutely marvellous. But that was one of those ones where I would probably never have done it if I didn't have the space, the brain space.
You needed a holiday and you needed the beach to tackle it. So maybe we should all go and get bricks.
Well, I've got a couple of massive bricks in my room.
I got recently, finally, the Kristen Labyrinth's Daughter, you know. I really have been meaning to read that for so long. Yeah, I've never ever got around to it, but it's there. It's huge.
Maybe
that's my holiday read.
Well, I've got one. I'm going to have to read this out. It's called Captivity, but it's by Giorgi Spiro. Do you know that one?
I don't know it.
No.
And it's massive, and it looks really interesting, and it's just, I'm sure everyone visual. Yeah. And
visual aids in podcasts.
But for my fellow podcasters.
Look it up. It's Captivity by
Go Spiro. To this website Spiro. Called Booktopia.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's
multimedia.
It's like a pilgrimage-y kind of story, but I was like, that like a journey. I can imagine reading that on the beach, being like, I can finally get into this massive brick.
Maybe I'll finally read Clarissa after you recommending it.
Clarissa,
John.
By Samuel Richardson. That is a brick. That's one of the biggest, longest novels ever written.
It's I have a copy of it, and every time I look at it, my brain hurts.
But it's such a brilliant novel. It's such a page-turning novel. It's not. It's it. It's
such a heavy novel.
Yeah, it's a big... No, but it's not actually heavy. It's
no,
just,
I meant physically
heavy. Oh, yeah, it is physically. It is definitely physically heavy. You end up with a bit more muscle at the end of that.
You could use two copies of it to, like, do
weights. Beach bodies.
Beach reads bodies. book selling is a speculative game, as you know. This summer, what do you think we're going to be seeing?
What will we look at on the beach when we turn around? What will everyone be holding?
Ooh. Well, I think there's going to be the Lee Child's going to be out there. The Di Morrissey will be out there. Judy Nunn will be out there. Yeah. Jimmy's going to be
Jimmy
everywhere.
Jimmy will be everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a lot of new Andy Weir.
Oh yes.
Author of The Martian.
Yeah.
Artemis. A new book from that guy, and that The Martian got such a following. Mm. That was
such a good book.
Yeah.
I think that'll get a lot of eyes. And a great brick of a book that is like a ripping, page-turning thing is Columbiano, which is still Russell Young, and that's just still ticking over with so many people. I have friends that aren't, people I generally talk to about books, and they're coming up to me saying, "Read this giant book, Ben. Look at it."
It just doesn't. It doesn't let you stop. It's a page turner from beginning to end. That one. And for those people who loved Marching Powder, they've really got to get a hold of it.
Mm. And it's so thick. You only have to bring one book with you on holiday.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you will be seeing that around. And that's one of those ones where you get when it comes out, and you go, "I'll read that on the holidays," because you don't think you can take it.
Like to work every day in your handbag. Or
yeah,
something.
It's just too big.
Yeah.
But a holiday, perfect.
But it is.
Perfect.
Yeah.
There are just so many big books. I mean, The Book of Dust, for all those people who who loved...
Because
there's a lot of people... It's 20 years since the last book by Philip Pullman in that series, and this is a prelude to it. So there's a lot of people who are much older than they were when they first read the series who are coming back to read it. Some of them are actually gone back and started reading the trilogy again so they can come with
fresh
eyes to it. So we'll see a lot of that around as well. That's everywhere.
Do you reckon John Green will be... Especially with the team on the beach.
I've been seeing that around, actually. Yeah. It's a hard cover to miss as well. If someone's reading it in public, it kind of
pops.
Catches your eye because of the bright orange.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Although, I don't know if it's sad. Probably isn't. People will be sobbing.
I don't think it's as... I haven't read it myself, but...
Not as sad as...
My sister took The Fault in Our Stars on holiday with her. And
rookie
she
mistake.
Was like, it was a bad mistake because she was on the beach sobbing.
What about travel writing? Is that gone forever? I mean, it's... It was one of those things that was really...
We've got Sagaland.
Yeah, well Sagaland's so different, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
Sagaland, that's a new type of travel writing.
It is. So Sagaland takes in a personal story, it takes in the Icelandic sagas, it takes in the travel log of going there.
Mm-hmm.
There's bits of history about Iceland as well. It's such a...
That's going to be my holiday read.
Something
I really want to read
on
that.
On my TBR is Glorious Times, Life on the Road. So that's something I'm going to be reading. That's travel writing. Biography travel writing.
Mm.
I had a wonderful summer reading Brain.
Ferrante?
You've got the internet.
Well, everyone had
use some visual aids, Ben.
Everyone had Ferrante fever.
I still haven't read it.
Neither have I.
Oh, that is...
I do want to as well,
but I feel like it's one of those ones that I will... It'll claim me, and then I'll have to finish the whole series. And,
and we'll never see Sarah.
Well, it'll just, like, nothing else will get read for a little while, so I hesitate to start.
Well, you can read one, and then...
No, not me. I'm all or nothing. I consume until there's none left.
Well, they move pretty quickly.
The book I was trying to remember was Barbarian Days, The Surfing Life by William Finnegan,
mm-hmm.
Who's a New Yorker contributor. And this book went on to be a Pulitzer Prize winner. It's a fantastic, big, fat memoir biography of this guy's life on the beach. You know, he grew up in Hawaii and in California, and then he did that whole endless summer thing. He went to Fiji, he went to Australia, he went to Indonesia before these places were on the map as surfing destinations, and he was a trailblazer in this what is now a sport, and he doesn't like to think of it as a sport, he thinks it's a way of life, and how it's kind of been commercialized and, you know, corrupted in ways, but then he talks about the good things that have come of surfing, and it's not just about surfing. This guy's a really good journalist and a really good writer, so he talks about, you know, a reading life on the road and, you know, political changes in places like South Africa under apartheid. It's a fantastic book. Go and read it.
I have to say, Ben, you are nailing it with the beach reads about the beach.
Yeah, isn't he? I'm trying to think.
Maybe I'm taking it too.
Beach reads about beach.
Neville Shute on the beach. No.
Yeah, that's not depressing.
That ends well.
Fun for everyone on the holiday.
Has anyone ever read any of the big, sort of the classic travel books? Two that spring to mind has been just hysterical, but also travel books. The Mark Twain, Innocence Abroad, and A Tramp Abroad. Two very funny. A Tramp Abroad, he goes on a walking tour of Europe and doesn't take a step. It's brilliant. He constantly jumps onto the back of a cart or gets a lift anywhere he goes, but he's meant to be doing a walking tour of Europe. But he's pretty much, the comic timing of Mark Twain in these two books is where Bill Bryson picks up, you know, 100 years later and just takes that timing. So if you ever had a great snort at Bill Bryson's books, you need to go back to Mark Twain.
I have never, I guess to my shame, that I've never read anything except Huckleberry Finn. Like, and I read that in school. And I hated that in school. And so I've never then gone back. And I don't associate him as someone who's really funny. So, like...
Well, I haven't read him either, but I have a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, which is...
Yeah, you got it the other day.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but it is on my list.
Okay. Your buying has gone exponentially since you arrived here. It's just non-stop.
Yes. Everyone thinks I have a problem at home. I used to have a nice small collection, and now my room is overflowing with books. I don't have enough bookshelves.
That's the thing, is you just get so many recommendations. So many people talking about
books.
I've
always been a reader, but I never read that much until I came here, and then suddenly I was like, what have I been doing my whole life? All these books are here.
And there's not enough time to read.
There isn't.
And now I have to add the complete works of Mark Twain to my
you
list.
Do.
They're very funny. Those two books are very funny books. I read The Road to Little Dribbling by Bill Bryson. It came out a couple of years ago, and I think paperback's out now. I read that on one plane journey from London to Sydney nonstop. I just kept reading and reading and reading.
Yeah.
And my wife just kept elbowing me because I was making too much noise. I was laughing my ass off. He's so old and bitter. It's just so good. He makes me look like an optimist. It's just...
Wow.
You know, those are the best books, though, that suck you in so much that you actually don't know what's happening around you. Who was in the other day? Was it Amy Kaufman saying that she was so into This Mortal Coil by Emily Sabato that on the plane, she wouldn't start when they got off the plane, so her husband actually had to hold her shoulders and direct her down the aisle and through, like, customs because she wouldn't stop reading.
Yes, so, and I was like, then I had to buy the book.
You do. See, that would be a great read.
When I first read,
because it's fun.
Yeah.
When I first read The Hobbit, I was on a tram and my stop was coming and I was like, oh no. I got off and it was raining so hard and I just stood under this awning, which gave me just enough space to hold the book really close to my face and not getting wet. And I stood there for about an hour because I just wanted to keep going to the next chapter.
I love stories like that. I was reading The Moon Spinners by Mary Stuart and the house was on fire. Our house was on fire.
What?
So apparently someone had said, Sarah, get out of the house, but I was too deeply involved in this book.
How
it was just a small electrical fire. Calm down, everyone. But like the point was, I was so involved in this book, reading it, that my entire family had evacuated the house. I had not noticed.
I love that they left you.
They
behind.
Had not noticed that I wasn't there, which is depressing. But
she
then
died,
suddenly
actually.
There was a fireman like in my house and I was like, oh hey. And that's how
I slipped into a fantasy novel, I ever slipped into fiction something.
But being that invested in a book is the
that's
best.
A great
but is that,
yeah.
Is that if you're gonna get that invested in a book, is there any point in going on a beach holiday? Because you won't even
know
you're there.
Beach is a safe place.
That environment to allow yourself to get that. It happens when you're young easily, but when you're older, it's a bit harder. Maybe you need the peace and quiet of a...
But it depends where you go on the beach. I mean, if you go to, you know, one of the beaches in Sydney, it's crazy. But my family holiday every year is to Hawk's Nest, and we go to Jimmy's Beach, which is dead quiet. And I could spend 6 hours there and be the only person I see.
That's the beach I'm envisioning.
Yeah,
I'm not,
me too. Yeah. I'm not picturing a Bondi beach. I'm picturing a Hawk's Nest beach.
I'm picturing the island on Castaway.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just me and Wilson.
You and Wilson.
And the complete works of Mark Twain.
See, if I got stranded on an island, I would hope that all the FedEx packages had books in them.
Imagine that. Imagine being stuck on there with no books.
No.
It'd be a great time to write the novel. Yeah. In the sand.
With what paper and pen, yeah.
With the sand and a twig.
Trying to remember
just
books.
Just spell out, instead of spelling out, so as you spell out your book in little twigs.
I'm sure you could rig up something with a burnt twig and bark.
I mean, if you're really dedicated, sure.
We've veered off topic.
We're on beaches. We're on a Castaway. We're on...
What's our takeaway? So,
takeaway? Kill the vibe, man.
I don't know.
Let's circle back.
Be careful. Okay, so for one, be very careful of electrical fires. Maybe if you bring in a good book, maybe just unplug a few things before you start. Make sure the stove is off and you've cleaned out the lint filter on the dryer.
And if you have this habit, don't let the children go swimming and you're the supervisor.
Yes, please don't do that, yeah.
What else? Read.
Reading is dangerous, everyone, is what we're getting at.
Bring an umbrella for the shade because you might be there a while if you get the right book.
Mm-hmm.
If you
wanna... Yeah, sun safety, that was a thing we covered.
Bring lots of snacks, lots of water, maybe a few beers.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than having to put your book down and go and eat or drink. Have it there.
Do the hot sands shuffle across to the kiosk.
I just want to stay put. I want a book that is in tune with the beach, as weird as that sounds, but also just sucks me into it, and I'm happy to just, because normally I don't like sitting on the beach for hours on end, but if I have a good book, like I did my last holiday, I was there for hours and hours just reading, and I think that's the book I want.
Now we just have to make it into the holidays.
It's so close.
It is so close.
Holidays are
coming. Those books should be either with you already or coming to you Christmas Day.
I think we should also just add in, beach read is, you know, not everyone goes to the beach on a holiday. You can read in the countryside, on a mountain, you can read on a plane, and these are all part of the holiday.
Holiday reads. Yeah. Is it too late to rename the podcast?
We can rename this podcast.
Can you just edit back and just put over the top, anyone mentions beach, you just read in holiday?
That should be easy.
Beach,
we talked a lot about beaches.
And sand. And
That idea.
Well, then jump in and just say like dirt or grass or rock. Yeah.
Quickly tack on something at the end here. Quick, holiday reads, go. We're here for another 5 hours.
You could read a beach read beside the pool. Like it's
oh, for sure. Same kind of, for me, same kind of feel.
Yeah,
pool definitely read doesn't have the same ring.
No,
it really doesn't.
No.
Chlorine read. No. Down at the local swimming centre read.
I'm going with holiday read. And
I'm still
going
to call this beach reads, and then just with, you know, little asterisks
you
in it.
You do what you need to do, Rona.
You do you.
I'm going to put in a vote for, if you're on holidays and you've got a bit of time, take on something that you would not normally take on.
Yeah,
I think that's a really good...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing to end on.
Let's exercise the mind. Give it a go.
Yeah.
Now's the time. There's no work to get in the way.
No.
Exactly.
And the kids are there.
Just make sure someone else is watching the kids and you'll be right. Well, thank you for joining us, everyone, and we'll catch you next week at 11 a.m.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.